It's time to get your ears fucked.
No.
Welcome to Sold Outcast.
This is Sold Outcast number 168. Coming to you with some hate right out of the gate. Never gonna be late. I am Mike, and it's just a beautiful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Let's get some yeahs in there. Let's drop some of those. I don't know what I'm doing. So, what have you been up to? Well, that's interesting. I that sounds fun. I wish I could have done that too. I spent my weekend going through the hell that is Whole Foods. Now, if you've been to Whole Foods, you're going to fall on one of two sides on this thing. You're either going to think that I'm being crazy or a maniac, which is very likely, or I'm right and fuck Whole Foods. On Saturday, my girlfriend, we were going to go shopping. My angel of a girlfriend who has to put up with me on a daily basis. Going to go to the grocery store, and we haven't been to Whole Foods in a while, and she just really wanted to go. Now, I will admit that I don't really get the allure of Whole Foods. It's just a grocery store, right? But I kind of compare it. For me, if I'm going to spend a little extra money on clothes, I usually want to go to a place like the Harley store. Now, I'm not going to go there and buy a whole goddamn wardrobe because that's an obscene amount of money. I mean, a t-shirt there is like $40. So, but I still get the comparison. Whole Foods to her is like the Harley store to me. So here's how I should have known that this trip was going to go off the rails. She told me, hey, let's go to Whole Foods in about an hour. And I said, well, why in an hour? Why don't we go ahead and go? And she informed me that she had to get ready to go to the grocery store and it would take her about an hour. And I said, well, what the fuck is going to take you an hour just to go to the grocery store? And this is where I found out that apparently you can't just go to Whole Foods wearing, you know, regular clothes. You know, apparently you have to get dressed nice, or, you know, nice-ish. You got to straighten your hair. You got to make it look cute. You got to put some makeup on. You got foundation, a little eyeshadow, some, you know, lip gloss. You got to look correct to go to Whole Foods. I never really knew this. I didn't know that Whole Foods was on such a pedestal that if you tried to enter wearing, you know, some juicy sweatpants and a t-shirt, that they would stop, the organic police would stop you, you know, because we know the OP is pretty hardcore. But I never knew that they were that hardcore, that the organic police would stop you at the door and demand that you go down the street to the sweatshop-free organic hemp store and buy some proper clothes, and then go next door to the Joseph Salon to get some treatment, get some makeup, get your hair trimmed up, you know, get some style. Then, and only then, can you set foot into Whole Foods. So yeah, I never knew that. I didn't know that that's how it works. I guess I should have known, though, that she was going to take it way more serious than me. I thought we were just going to stroll in there, pick a few things out that you can't get elsewhere, and then move along and then get the rest of our shit at, your average K. Roger Kroger grocery shop. Oh, how wrong I was. We go there, and before we even walk in, I get some bad news over my phone. I mean, it's nothing like dire or anything, but, you know, it kind of put a chink in my armor. Can I say that? Is that something you can still say? I'm not really sure. I remember a few years ago, a journalist said something along the lines of, we've seen the chink in the New York Knicks armor. And at the time, that's when Jeremy Lin played for the Knicks. And it was like a whole fucking thing. I think the guy had to apologize. I don't think he got fired, but, you know, the the politically correct warriors came out of the woodwork and insisted that he must have been making a racial slur. And I don't think that, let's just look it up real quick. Chink in one's armor. The idiom chink in one's armor refers to an area of vulnerability. It has traditionally been used to refer to a weak spot in a figurative suit of armor. The standard meaning is similar to that of Achilles' heel. I don't know why I'm slowly going into a Shatner impression. The phrase has been used since the 15th century. So, yeah, okay. I don't think it has anything to do with Chinese people, at least not until ESPN. I guess now we have to police the usage of words that have legitimate meanings, because some group somewhere has decided to use a similar word, a similar sounding word, to denote something else. So we have to completely outlaw the use of the word chink, even though chink in one's armor has nothing to do with race. And this is one of the many reasons why some people get annoyed with liberals, because let me give you an example. Last week, a friend of mine put a... Okay, here we go. Facebook. Here we go. Here we go with the Facebook. A friend of mine put a status up. I guess they work at a call center or something, and they were just quoting a customer, and the customer said something along the lines of, "Thanks for raping my wallet." Well, a friend of my friend's replied, "How about we just outlaw all metaphors using the word rape?" And, you know, of course, they got like 3 or 4 likes, and, you know, my friend like replies like, "Here ye, you know, right, rabble, rabble, rabble." Here's the thing, though. It's not a metaphor. There are legitimate definitions of the word rape that have nothing to do with sexual assault. Thus, it's not a metaphor. You can literally rape someone's wallet. You are stealing out of your seizing money out of the wallet. That is also a grammatically correct use of the word rape. Am I right? I believe, yes, I am right. Of course I'm right. You just go look at a fucking dictionary. Well, then it became a whole like, well, just because it says so in the dictionary doesn't mean that I acknowledge that that is a legitimate definition of the word rape. Basically, the person is saying that even though this word has been around for centuries and goes back to Latin roots, Greek roots, all of which have the word like seize and carry off with and things like that in their definitions, he is choosing to ignore that and impose his own rule on this word. And because his rule of this word means that you can't use this word in any context other than, you know, referring to sexual assault, then it thus is a metaphor. And I don't give a shit. If he wanted to make the argument that we should eliminate other uses of that word because it's such a heinous act, that's a reasonable, well, I don't know about reasonable, but that's a logical argument that could be made. We think that this word, the act of rape is so bad that we should phase out uses of the word that mean other things. I could get behind that argument. But it's not a fucking metaphor until you change the fucking usage of the word when it comes to everyone else in the fucking world. You see what happens? You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when I go on Facebook and I have to deal with people like... Here's the thing. I am about as far left. Okay, this is probably going to sound like, you know, like, oh, I got a black friend, so I'm not racist. But I am about as far left as you can get when it comes to 99% of issues. I am I would consider myself a, you know, to quote Bernie Sanders, I am a democratic socialist. I believe that capitalism has its place, but capitalism, like any form of government, if left unchecked, will run rampant like cancer and destroy the country and the world, because capitalism, like most forms of government, allow human greed to profit. When you allow human greed to profit, people will suffer. We are selfish creatures. That's one of the reasons why we're such a successful species, because we are so selfish. We have been able to propagate to the point where we control every aspect of this planet for the most part. I mean, I don't know about, you know, the Serengeti, how much we control there, but from the day we arrive on the planet. Anyway, back to not my original point, but my midpoint. I'll get back to the original point here in a second. This is one of the reasons why a lot of people kind of go, when it comes to liberals, is because we're kind of hypocrites sometimes. And I'm going to include myself, even though I don't fall into this ignorant category. But I do consider myself a liberal, so I'm going to sort of loop me in here for a second. A lot of liberals, and let's just say Democrats, actually. Let's just go with Democrats. A lot of Democrats have different rules for different people of what we should follow. White people have different rules of what they can say or do. Black people have different rules for what they can say and do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go to every race and nationality and religion. In the Democrat mind, everyone has different rules of how they can behave and things they can say and do. You know, out of the big three religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, there's a clear difference in how Democrats treat and the standard that they hold them to each religion. And I personally think that's insanely wrong. Like, you can't be like, well, these people over here, they live in a different culture. It's not right for us to judge or impose our values on them. No, it totally is. It totally is. Everyone on this planet should have equal rights. And that would be something that every Democrat would say for anyone that lives in this country, but would never, ever fucking say about someone who lives in a different country. And I think you know which countries I'm referring to. I'm not going to say them because I don't want to die. That's really what it comes down to. Because that's the world we live in. If you criticize certain people in certain religions, then bad things might happen to you. So I'm going to avoid that. We were talking about Whole Foods. Let's just go back to Whole Foods, okay? So we go into Whole Foods, and we go to the bakery side, which is probably the most dangerous part of the store. So we are just going to get it out of the way. And, you know, despite the fact that I had just gotten some bad news, I was in a bad mood. I felt like, you ever go shopping with your lady and, you know, you're just kind of there to serve a purpose, and that's to hold shit, offer opinions when asked, but otherwise keep your head down, you know, get ready to juke jive and wail, you know, as trap questions start flying at you, but, you know, does this dress make me look fat? And you gotta be ready. You gotta be ready to duck and cover, to move like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You gotta be ready to go for it. So I kind of was approaching Whole Foods like dress shopping with the lady. So I really wasn't there to commentate, I think, too much. I was gonna be picking some stuff out, but I really didn't foresee us blowing our entire load at Whole Foods. Little did I know. Okay, so we get to the bakery, and first thing you see is like their fucking cookies, which I had never had them. She said they're amazing. I didn't really feel like I needed cookies, but, you know, I'm not gonna not get them if she's getting them. And the cookies were like $1.80 a pop, and then you could get like a dozen of them for $11, which seems rather high. I was like, how many are you gonna get? She's like, well, maybe three. And then like, well, what if I get three? And now all of a sudden we're talking almost the price of an entire dozen for six cookies. So I was like, well, might as well just get these, even though it's $10.99, and I just fine. It'll be fine. So we kind of make our way down, and, you know, she's like a fucking kid in a toy store getting distracted every 2 feet, which I completely understand. I do that at different stores. So I'm just kind of like going on my own, just letting her, you know, stand in awe in front of the cheeses. And then I kind of just decided to kind of walk down a first aisle, and the first aisle was frozen. And I remember she said she wanted to get some like frozen things for work. This is where the wheels started kind of going off the cart. So I walk down the aisle, walk past the ice cream. Don't even like think about that. And I go to where the frozen meals are and I start seeing that they're $5, $6, $7 a pop. You know, compared to what you can get at a, you know, normal grocery store, you could spend $2 a pop on those things. And I, you know, she had told me, you know, let's try to spend $75, but you know, then it kind of became more than that. But I'm just thinking, well, you're wanting to get five of these things. That's, you know, $25 alone right there at minimum. That's assuming you get the $5 ones. So she kind of meets up with me there and I kind of see what's in her cart and she grabs two or three of those frozen meals. And so she's got three frozen meals, a bag of mozzarella cheese, the cookies, and there was like one other thing. I don't remember what it was. And I said, how much, what is our total? Because she had been keeping track. And she said, oh, about $40. And I laughed and I looked at the cart. I looked at her cart, back and forth for like a dog for a second. And then I said, darling, you cannot objectively look at this cart and say that there's $40 worth of food in it. You can't do it. And she got defensive because I know she just really wanted to go to Whole Foods and buy her stuff. And I didn't want to have that argument in the middle of Whole Foods. You know, she got correct, did her hair, did her makeup. You know, I got, you know, some decent clothes on. So we were kind of blending in, but you know, if we would have started having an argument right there in the middle, you know, her South End would have come out, my Indiana would have come out, you know, it would have been bad. And then the organic place would have shown up and then we would have really been trouble. You know, we would have had to face the flaxseed trial. I mean, who knows? We might have been sentenced to the mines of grape seed. No one wants to go there. So I just kind of let her do her thing. And I don't really think anything else of it. Because in my mind, I'm just like, okay, this is not my shopping trip. She can get whatever she wants. If I see something, I'll probably get it. But for the most part, I'm just here for, you know, emotional support, which I suck at least in this instance. Usually I'm pretty good. But this here, I was not being very, you know, emotionally supportive for any of this because I wasn't happy about it. But now I'm kind of thinking about things that I kind of needed, and one of them was cereal. So I walk over to the cereal aisle, next aisle over, and I'm just, you know, kind of staring at the wall of supernatural cereals that they have. And this is where I really realize my huge beef when it comes to Whole Foods. Nothing will make you question your life choices more than having to debate in your head whether it's okay or not to spend $6 on a box of cornflakes. And they're not even cornflakes. They're not even really cornflakes. They're fucking Nature's Path organic cornflakes sweetened with fruit juice. Sweetened with fucking, that's disgusting. Granted, I realize that you probably can't taste it. I doubt it. But I would know in my brain that there's fucking fruit juice in my fucking cornflakes, and that's not how my grandpa did it. That's not how America does it. Get the shit out of here, okay? Give me some fucking Kellogg's. Give me some, you know, it's just, I just felt like a loser because I had to think in my brain, is it okay to spend this much money on fucking cornflakes? And that's, you know, something inherently that the girl and I, we differ on. I'm not cheap. I'm willing to spend money on things that I feel like are worth the extra money. All the time I'll do that. But if it's fucking cereal, I don't need organic, non-GMO, no high. I don't give a shit about that. At the end of the day, they have the same fucking amount of calories. Sometimes they have more calories. Well, you know, it's still healthier than shoveling down, squirting bottles of chiral syrup in here. I get that. And I'm not saying that that's not true. I'm just saying you're not going to get your average American on board with this fucking non-GMO train when you're charging $6 for fucking cornflakes. This is not going to happen. Most people are not going to pay that. Most people can't afford to pay that. I mean, really, We spent $75 for about $30 worth of food. It was ridiculous. And I mean, I didn't really get anything. She mostly got something to, you know, stuff to make this pizza and, you know, and that was about it. You know, really, we walked out of there with barely anything. And, you know, as we're leaving, you know, I'm annoyed because I know we paid. I was watching every fucking label I saw. Consistently, everything is twice as much as it is at a normal grocery store. To me, that's a problem. That's, I feel like that you're, maybe I wouldn't care so much if we were stupid rich. Like if one day this podcast really takes off and I can just be like, fuck it. Maybe then I wouldn't care. But honestly, I probably still would care a little bit. I probably still would kind of huff and puff. That's why I would stay rich. I wouldn't be one of those people that go out and buy 10 Corvettes and, you know, 30,000 foot house. And then I can't afford the taxes. And, you know, I would be smart about it. I would invest. I would live off it. I would risk money on things that I knew I could afford to risk money on. Just stupid, silly things. Like maybe I'd run for coroner, even though I have no medical background, but you don't need to be the coroner, at least not here. I'd show up at every crime scene blasting The Who. So, who are you? I don't really want to know. I'd jump out, you know, snap some fucking latex gloves on, you know, pull some sunglasses. You know, I got to get back on contacts if I'm going to do this. I get sunglasses, take them on and off. I guess that he didn't know sometimes speed kills. Yeah! Meet the new boss! So that's, yeah, I would do stupid shit like that with money. Nothing like serious that could potentially bankrupt me. Just like little rinky dink things here and there, you know. If I could drop $10,000, if let's say I won the lottery, let's say I won $100 million, 50 of that I get if I take it up front, 25 immediately goes to taxes because I'm not Donald Trump. Oh, so I'm left with $25 million. Almost all of it, all but like 1 million immediately goes into investments. I'm going to live on that for the rest of my life. With the last 1 million, maybe I'll buy it. I'll get a decent house, nothing crazy. I'll get one car, maybe two at most. And then that's it. Then you're just living expenses. So if I could like just take 10 grand and just spend it on something stupid, I would do that. That's the one thing I would do. That would be my luxury. That and then go to Whole Foods and not freak the fuck out. To me, Whole Foods is like a novelty store. It's not a place where you should go and buy all of your groceries unless you live on the fancy part of town. You know, this is how the better half lives. You know what I'm saying? When you're moving on up, then you can go and just, that's where you buy your groceries. You can afford to spend $400, $500 a month on food. I can't afford to spend $400, $500 a month on food. So for the time being, I'm going to have to slum it at the Kroger up the road. And so I guess I thought that when we would go there, that's how she would also kind of see it, is like, I'm just going to get you shit here. Like I said earlier, I'm just going to get shit here that I can't get elsewhere, you know, and then I'll feel good about it. And then we can go get the real shopping done. But no, I mean, she got what she wanted and it ended up being like all the money we planned to spend. And so we leave and it's super tense. And I said earlier that, you know, my lady is an angel. She deals with me being a maniac on a routine basis. I've been trying to be better about containing my outrage around her because, you know, she's a very sensitive person. And I could sit here and I could be ranting about anything. Donald Trump, politics, especially Facebook. And I'm just getting shit off my chest, but I'm like, I'm aggressive. I'm not yelling, but to her, I'm yelling. And it, you know, it stresses her out. So I've been trying to be better about containing that. And so I'm giving it to you guys. That's what you're for. All you fuckers listening to this right now, that's what you are helping my relationship. So thank you. And so we get home. It's just real uncomfortable. You know, I'm not really, I mean, I'm mad, but I'm only mad because I feel like that she is ignoring reality of the situation, that we spent all this money and barely got anything. Like, if she was just like, yeah, I know, but it's shit I wanted, I'd be like, all right, well, at least you're acknowledging that you paid a premium to go to this store. I mean, and that would be a respectable position to make an argument for her. But instead it was, we just had like uncomfortable silence, and we did that really immature thing where one of us goes to one room, the other goes to the other room. And then when we're kind of ready to talk, then we just text each other because we know that if we actually talk in person, it'll probably get pretty heated. Well, that's what we did. It didn't really work. We eventually did have to kind of come together and, you know, hash it out. And, you know, it's just, I don't like arguing with her because she does take it kind of hard, because I want to win. I'm a horrible person to fucking argue with. My goal is to win and win impressively. And I realize that that makes me a dick. So I've been actively trying to avoid those situations. And it just happens that we hit one that we had to deal with. But we worked it out. You know, it was fine. Needless to say, I think that there's a new rule that we will not be grocery shopping again with one another for a while, because the last two times have been tense. I mean, granted, we've been shopping together who knows how many times, but it just happens that we've had two crappy ones in a row. I can't even remember what happened with the last one. I just know that there was a misunderstanding and there was a whole thing. And then the next day we got up and we watched the U of L game. We watched Louisville versus Michigan in the NCAA tourney. We watched Ricky Pitino completely get embarrassed by Michigan. I mean, there's really no reason they should not have lost that game. At one point, apparently the court reporter overheard him telling the team, stop taking stupid shots. And what do? They continued to take stupid shots. He said after the game, he's like, we just got to work on our mental toughness. And obviously that's true. Hopefully they'll rebound next year. We'll see. They should have went deeper than just the 32. But at least the Dukies lost later than night, so it wasn't so bad. I mean, UK won. I'm not really one of those super anti-UK people. I don't really mind the team so much. I do find, though, that many of their fans are fucking obnoxious cocksuckers. Those motherfuckers. Yeah, I don't understand how the city of Louisville can have so many Kentucky fans. I know for a fact that Lexington, where UK isn't full of fucking Louisville fans. So I don't understand that. Like, what? You're living in a town that has a very successful sports team through the local university. Why would you support a team that's, you know, 100 miles away? And it's simple, because UK used to win a lot more than U of L, and people in fucking Kentucky are bandwagon dicks. So what's going on? What else is going on this weekend? Well, Trump released some more details on his wall. Fox News had a nice graphic of the Trump wall requirements. Now they're saying that this thing is only going to be 30 feet high and that it will be, quote, difficult to jump over and cut through. Not impossible, just difficult. They're already walking back the expectations of how effective this thing's going to be. I mean, I really believe that this was just something he said during the campaign, but now he has to do it, because if so many people voted for him because of this thing, so he has to do it. He's not going to admit that he can't do it or that it's not going to do a good job. He's going to build the fucking, well, he's going to start to build the thing. Whether or not it ever gets fucking finished or not, we'll see. I mean, it took fucking 15 years to build the goddamn Freedom Tower. How quickly do you think this fucking wall is going to be built when no one wants it except for a small percentage of the goddamn country that voted for this person? Like, I'm not even saying like everybody that voted for him. A lot of people voted for him for completely different reasons, but there obviously is a segment of the population. They need that. We're going to build a wall. We're going to keep all them Mexicans out. We're going to protect them, protect our kids from the Muslims. I mean, those people exist, and it's sad because I really think most of them are just uninformed on what real danger is. I mean, there are way more dangerous things going on in this world right now than a Mexican that keeps skipping back over the border every time he gets deported. I mean, I realize that one person can cause a lot of misery, but the amount of apathy or outright indignation people have for climate change debates when that's something that really will, you know, kill you one day, wipe out humanity. Like, it just blows my mind. Like, whatever you think is the most important issue in politics right now is nothing compared to the possible near future destruction of this planet. Nothing that you think is important compares to the possibility that within our lifetime, the Earth may become near uninhabitable and that we'll have to somehow adapt to living on a planet where the temperatures rise to the point that food starts to run out because the natural order breaks down because the ocean temperature rises, melts fucking glaciers, kills off fucking fish. You start killing off fish, it's not going to be that far. Just because you think that you can eat fucking cows all day long, that's not how it works. That's not how the fucking... From the day we arrive on the planet. The second and hopefully last reference to Lion King that I'll make on this podcast. It's just, I don't know, it just kills me. It's obviously something that's not going to work the way that I think a lot of people hope it'll work. Fences already exist. You know, all you got to do is go to fucking Lowe's and you can buy a 32-foot ladder. People have been building tunnels under the border for decades. They're just going to keep doing that. Ultimately, all you're doing is wasting a lot. It kind of reminds me of people who insist on drug testing for anyone on government assistance. And while I get the sentiment, we don't want anyone getting welfare or food stamps or anything if they're shooting up on the government's dime. I get that. I understand that. But the percentage of people that gets caught when they do institute these programs is a fraction of the amount of money it takes to test everybody. And at the end of the day, you have to be realistic. Are we going to get, if you're the person that thinks that we need this wall, are you going to get $50 billion worth of results out of it? And the answer is just no, you're not going to. It's just not going to happen. And anyone with half a fucking brain can realize that. And I do know a couple Trump supporters, and I don't think they really care about the wall that much. I mean, they'll kind of make jokes about it just to kind of rile people up. But I think they voted for him for different reasons. I mean, the wall is just something that people of small minds can think is a great idea. And again, it's not that we shouldn't protect our borders in some way. We shouldn't be careful about who we let in or don't let in. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that you have to do it in a way that's fiscally responsible and not just waste fucking money, especially when, you know, these people are so goddamn concerned about all these measly little, you know, PBS, Meals on Wheels, all this stuff that is 0.0% of the budget that we've got to cut now. For why? It's because you want to overspend on defense and this fucking wall and ICE and Homeland Security. Fine, overspend on those things, but you're not saving any money by cutting these other things. It's a fraction of the amount of money you're wanting to fucking spend. Okay, I gotta get off this. I gotta get off this wall thing. But I gotta tell you, that awkward fucking meeting that Trump had with Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, like, she hasn't been that uncomfortable since George Bush's surprise fucking back rub. And, you know, I love how he pretended to be real nice and cordial with her. Waited a good 30 seconds after she was on the plane back to Germany to tell everyone how much money that woman owes America, which she doesn't. But it's just, that's just the kind of person he is. Tell you what he is. He pays his taxes, or at least he did one year in 2005 when he had to disclose, where he had to show that he was paying the proper amount of taxes, because it was the year that Melania needed to get her citizenship. And whenever you do that, apparently you have to present taxes to prove that you don't have any outstanding debt to the IRS. So just so happens that that's the year that Rachel Maddow got the scoop on last week. I mean, she's got the scoop. And, you know, she fucking hyped this thing all goddamn day long, you know, got liberals up, worked fucking up, overhyped it. We got it. We've got the tax returns. But she's got the scoop. No, she's done. She doesn't have anything. Turns out you fucking turned it on. It was, and she basically did one of these things. People have wanted Donald Trump's taxes. And guess what? We've got it in an hour. It was so fucking dragged. I've watched Maddow a little bit. I kind of see the show for what it is, and that's just an editorial. It's not meant to be hard news. And this just further goes to prove that she's not a journalist. She's just not. I have a hard time believing that any legitimate hard news journalist would have fucking reported this thing the way that she did. I'm not saying it wasn't newsworthy. It certainly would have been newsworthy for people who like Trump because it showed that he paid like 25% in taxes, which is way more than anyone thinks that he normally pays. But this is the return. And so this one year when he had to pay a proper amount of money, that's the one we at. But it's just the two fucking first pages of a 1040 with no information otherwise that is actually relevant. This would have been a decent thing to get, I guess, during the campaign, because back then people just wanted to know if he's paying his fair share. And why they didn't fucking, that's what they should have released. The Trump team should have released that during the campaign, because that was good news for him. But no, this is how it came about. And fucking, if she's the one that got it and no one else is going to report it, I'm not saying she shouldn't have. I mean, out of objectivity, yeah, she should have reported on it. But she hyped the fucking thing like it was Al Capone's glove box and there was actually going to be something in there, you know. But there wasn't. And I really felt, I doubted very highly there was going to be anything. Just because, again, why would Rachel Maddow be the one breaking the fucking story? I mean, and that's, I don't mean any disrespect to her, but it's not where you would go to look to have the scoop. And she didn't have a scoop. It was like, it would be if at the end of Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade and he walked into that chamber and found out it was just an elaborate gift shop. And he walked around looking at all the, you know, T-shirts and fucking coffee mugs.
That's the cup of a carpenter.
You have chosen wise.
I mean, it was just a letdown, and it was because she made it that way with the way that she overhyped a non-breaking news story. Unless you work at Breitbart or Fox News, then it would have been a decent scoop, because then you would have been proving that Trump, for at least one year, for that one year, he paid a decent amount of taxes. All right, there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about. And, you know, last week's episode, I talked about Hillary Clinton, like, stumbling out from the woods like Baba Yaga with her fucking head bobbling around. And, well, guess what? On a speech on Friday, she said, quote, that she is ready to come out of the woods. It was during a St. Patrick's Day speech in Pennsylvania. And of course, you know, their overflow crowd, they were just all so excited to see Hillary. Hillary comes out of the woods.
And then she comes out of the woods.
You know, she said, I'm like a lot of my friends right now. And by that, she means the rich people that rule the world. I have a hard time watching the news, I'll confess. I'm ready to come out of the woods and help shine a light on what is already happening around kitchen tables at dinners like this. Do we really believe for one second that Hillary Clinton eats dinner at a kitchen table? I gotta believe that when her and Bill eat dinner together, it's like that scene in the 89 Batman movie where it's like the 20-foot table and one's at one end, the other's at the end, other end. The butler walks in with their fucking silver trays of, you know, soup, because that's what rich old people eat, is just soup. But, you know, she's got to dab her hot sauce in it. So it's got to, she carries it around everywhere. You know, it's not just for pandering. She's not just pandering to people when she says, oh, I carry around the hot sauce. That's one thing. It's one thing I got to have in my purse everywhere I go. Yeah, okay, whatever. And right after that is her global communicator to the Council of Nine that decide the fate of every country on this planet. My great thing about this story in the New York Times is they quoted Miss Kingsley, who I guess was like who put the event together. And for years, they had tried to land Mrs. Clinton and sent her, and they finally sent her an invitation in December. So they have been trying to land her for years, but conveniently now she shows up. Miss Kingsley said, "We figured if anyone can motivate women, who better to have here than Mrs. Hillary Rodham Clinton?" Really? Really? That's, I'm so fucking tired. I'm so fucking tired of this bullshit. This bullshit that she is this great beacon of women's hope. I think really what it comes down to is there's a certain class of women in this world, in this country, that really identify with Hillary Clinton and see themselves in her. They're, you know, the older women for sure, over 50, and then some, you know, I mean, there are obviously some women that are younger than that. I mean, I know quite a few of them that still, they, to them, Hillary is an accomplishment that they, maybe they think that they can never achieve. They know they're never going to be president. But this woman that they kind of can relate to for some reason, I don't really get that either. Like, how can you relate to this woman? If you aren't Chelsea Clinton, how do you relate to Hillary Clinton? What does she have in common with anyone that you know? What does Bill Clinton have in common with any man you know? Zero. Fucking zero. All right? And, you know, any feminist would tell you that it's wrong for men to vote for men just because they're men. And it's equally wrong to vote for a woman just because you're a woman. You have to vote your conscience. That's what's wrong with this country right now, is people not fucking voting their goddamn conscience. They're voting what feels morally right for some reason. And, you know, yeah, we are overdue for more women in leadership roles in this country, not even in the, just in the government, but also in corporate America. But that doesn't mean that any option, any female option is the right one. There, I mean, you still have to vote based on real issues, based on what you think will make your life better. And if you really think that just because Hillary is a woman that it'll somehow make your life better, you're fucking wrong. You're wrong. This is a person who has routinely flip-flopped on issues that many women believe are core values. This is a person that above, I mean, I know all politicians do this. All politicians cater, but she has made it a fucking art form during her entire political career, going all the way back to when she was a fucking lawyer, when she would represent rapists and get them off and then laugh about it. Why am I talking about this? I don't know. I guess I'm not shocked that she's back again. Hillary's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 I mean, there's definitely this cult of personality for Hillary amongst a good portion of the electorate. And I guess I kind of understand it on one hand. But on the other hand, it's the same thing with people that are blind Trump supporters that don't see his flaws. And there are people who are blind Bernie supporters and didn't see his flaws. Anyone who can't look at the politician that they support and see the bad things with them is the person that's just going to vote for the person just for fucking shits and giggles and not actually consider maybe another candidate can be a better candidate for me. That's all I want. That's all I want is just people to be honest. Just be honest with yourselves. Be honest with other people. Oh my God. I keep looking at this story and it's just like, my father hopped the freight train to Chicago looking for bigger opportunities. It sounds like the fucking beginning of the shitty fucking play off Broadway. That's what it sounds like. I mean, oh my God, I can't look at it anymore. I can't look. I got to sit back. I got to collect myself. I got to go to the gym here a little bit. I've not been super serious about it. I've kind of let myself go a little bit over the last year or so. I had back surgery and, you know, I was working out like a maniac up until then. And then I had to stop. A doctor told me I couldn't work out for 3 months. And the problem is that I continued to eat as if I was working out. Cause you know, when you're really working out real heavy, you have to eat more. You've got to consume more calories. Well, when I stopped being able to work out, I kept eating as if I was working out and I started gaining weight. And then I finally got cleared to work out. But the problem is it was too late. I already had the taste. The addiction was back, the addiction for food. And it's just been a hard track getting back to business when it comes to fit, being fit, eating not horribly, not overeating. I keep doing a really good job during the week, and then the weekend comes and it's just fucking car goes off the road, flips in the ditch. It's horrible. So I need to really, I don't want to be like, I think I'm on my, hold on, one, two, my fifth fat at this point. Like I want to just get to a normal size like I was and just stick there. Like I don't need to be skinny. I don't need to be super skinny. I don't even think I would look great super skinny, but I definitely need to trim back down. So that's my current goal. So I'm going to make a commitment to you, the listeners, the loyal few. It's time to get back in fighting shape. All right, you fuckers, that's it for this week. Episode 168 in the books. Rachel's got the scoop. She's got the fucking scoop. All right, I'm out. Peace.